Call the Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting to order this day, Wednesday, November the 12th, 2014. If you'll all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Pretty good. We got a little later start today. Justice Court was busy in here. Starting off, I have one announcement to make here. It was the passing of Elko County Commissioner Grant Gerber. I think you knew Grant, Commissioner Shabagin. This guy, he was a longtime resident out there, and he'd only been a commissioner for about 2 years. He was extremely involved with the American Lands Council. He was involved with working to keep the sage grouse off of the federal endangered species list. He was a part of the Jarbridge South Canyon Shovel Brigade, as you might remember reading this in the newspaper several years ago. He's gone toe-to-toe with the BLM and what's the other one, the federal...
BLM?
Not the BLM, but the... In any event, he got into an accident on his way to Washington, D.C. He was actually by horseback carrying petitions protesting the way that the federal government manages the lands. So anyway, he succumbed to his injuries from this from his fall on his horse. But he did complete the trip, and then he passed away on his way home. But it was anyway. We just want to mention him. He was one who stood up for states' rights and for land issues, and so we all respect that. So moving along here, we're going to move on to item number 3. This is discussion of possible action approval of the agenda for this date, November the 12th, 2014. Anybody have any comment on today's agenda? Mr. Phillips.
Yeah, good afternoon, Commissioners. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. It's 12th of November, Wednesday, 2014. This is a special meeting to canvass the vote. In regards to today's agenda, this is discussion before possible action of approval of today's agenda for November 12, 2014. Item number 3, Mr. Chairman, I sure would like to discuss a consent agenda item number 8, treasurer report. So could we talk about that separately from the consent agenda?
Okay. You got that? Come on up.
Good afternoon. I'm requesting that the minutes of this meeting reflect my remarks, which will be brief.
Okay. Dave, would you go ahead and identify yourself for the record?
Yes. For the record, I am Dave Thomas. I have lived in Story County in the Highlands for over 23 years. I would like to ask a question regarding agenda item number 3. Approval of agenda for November 12th, 2014. At the Tuesday, October 21st, 2014 Commissioners meeting, Commissioner Gilman requested in his capacity as a Story County Commissioner that an item be entered into today's Commissioner meeting agenda for a vote of censure against Sheriff Antonoro. Commissioner Gilman spoke for approximately 8 minutes on this topic at the October 21st meeting, during which he requested the vote for censure 3 different times. I'm asking why the agenda item requested by Commissioner Gilman does not appear on the agenda for today's commissioners meeting. Given statements made by Commissioner Gilman at the October 21st meeting, I feel that the citizens of Story County deserve an explanation of why the agenda item requested by Commissioner Gilman does not appear on today's agenda.
Very good. Do you want to take the lead, or do you want Mr. Maddox? Do you want to take the lead?
I defer either Mr. Maddox or Ms. Langer. I worked specifically with Ms. Langer on the request.
Well, we did research on the issue of censure. Nevada's Dillon rule state. We can only do those things that we've been specifically authorized by the legislature to do. We researched the statutes. We're unable to find anything in the statutes that discussed censoring of public officials by the county commission. Given that, then because of Dillon's rule, if we don't have specific authorization to do it, we can't do it. And that's been my advice. It was my advice, I think, to the county manager and to Commissioner Gilman that there's no such thing as a censor of a public official. So it shouldn't be on the ballot or on the commission agenda because we can't do it.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Maddox. That was under Chapter 244.
Yeah.
So that would be the sections that you'd be looking at that would not allow us to ensure Chapter 244.
I'm reasonably familiar with that.
Okay. Thank you, Dick. Anyone else have any comments on today's agenda? Hearing none, call for motion.
Motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to approve today's agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. And if the clerk could make note that Commissioner Gilman is absent today, please. Thank you. Moving along now to item number 4, discussion and possible action, approval of the minutes for September the 16th, 2014. Are there any discussion on the minutes of that meeting? Seeing none, call for a motion.
Motion to approve the minutes for September 16, 2014.
And I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to approve minutes for September the 16th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item number 5, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for October the 7th, 2014. Any discussion on these minutes? Hearing none, call for the motion.
Motion to approve minutes for October 7th, 2014.
And I'll second that. Being moved and seconded to approve the minutes of October the 7th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 6, discussion of possible action, approval of the minutes for October the 9th, 2014. Anyone have any discussion on these minutes?
Okay. Motion to approve the minutes for October 9th, 2014.
And I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of October the 9th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. Under the consent agenda, let's go ahead and move right along to item number 8 now. For the possible action, approval of October 2014 Treasurer's Report. Mr. Phillips.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chairman, for allowing discussion on consent agenda item number 8. This is discussion before the approval of the submitted October 2014 Treasury Report. My concerns are simple. It would be in regards to funds number 190, Park Fund, and fund number 210, Sheriff's Jail Fund. In fund number 210, Sheriff's Jail Fund, Building Fund, has been, y'all by resolution just got rid of that fund, but the Treasury report shows $730 disbursement out of the Sheriff's Jail Building Fund, leaving a fund balance of a negative $92,679. So could somebody please explain to me why this fund hasn't been dissolved or gotten rid of, taken off the books like you all agreed on, and how can disbursements be made out of a fund that's not even supposed to be used? Thank you. Oh, and also the Park Fund. You know, shows a negative $2,600. I thought we were going to take care of that and get these park fund balances taken care of. It's obvious that park fund balance is negative.
Would suggest when our comptroller does his staff report that he address both those items.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Very good. We'll continue it on when the comptroller does his report. Any other questions in regarding to today's consent agenda? Well, let's go ahead, Doug. Why don't you give me a motion on number 8 first. Motion to approve item number 8.
Yeah, I'll move to approve item number 8 on the October 2014 Treasurer's Report.
Yeah, I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to approve item number 8. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, let's move right along to the rest of the consent agenda at this point then. Are there any other questions regarding the balance of today's consent agenda? Hearing none, call for a motion.
Motion to approve the consent agenda.
And I'll second that. It's been moved and seconded to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Okay. Moving right along now, let's see here, to item number 11. Discussion, possible action, the first reading of ordinance number 14-260, an ordinance adding chapter 3.50 to the Story County Code, creating the Story County Economic Diversification District number 1, and providing for other properly related matters.
Mr. Chairman, I'll start, and definitely defer to Mr. Maddox, who's been indispensable in helping with this. As we know, the Nevada legislature met in special session in mid-September and passed, amongst other bills, special session Senate Bill 1. There were a number of provisions in there incumbent upon both the state and any county that chose to create an economic diversification district subject to certain qualifications, including a minimum of investment of $3.5 billion. This bill was otherwise known potentially as the Tesla bill, although I point out for the record that should any other company meet the same qualifications, we would be provided the same opportunities. So one of the options available to the county is to establish an economic diversification district, should they choose to, and the staff is going to recommend that we begin to do so today via first reading of this ordinance. I want to stress this is just a first reading. Senate Bill 1 requires that it be, if we choose to adopt it, adopted by ordinance. There are still a number of other related matters that we are working with Tesla and their legal staffs on. That includes negotiations for items that were provided for in Senate Bill 1, such as cost offsets, licensing, and permitting fees. So discussions are ongoing, but these documents, as Mr. Maddox can attest, have been approved by both legal counsel and staff for Story County and for Tesla.
Mr. Maddox, you want to follow up on that?
Unless anybody has any questions, this is just the special session of the legislature passed SB 1. It authorized us to set up an economic diversification district. This ordinance does that. Basically, the way it's going to work is Tesla will come in and they'll pay the sales and use taxes as they make sales. And actually, I don't think there's going to be any use taxes because it's all the sales taxes. And they'll pay those to the state, and then the state will remit the amounts paid to us, and then we will, from the funds remitted to us, pay them to Tesla. And this, again, is to encourage business.
Mm-hmm.
They have to show us that they have incurred certain costs, which amount to the amount that we're going to be reimbursing for them, which they'll obviously do, seeing as how the sales tax is going to come out of monies that they expend. So it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess. And then we pay it back to them. And we do it for sales and use taxes for 20 years. In order to accomplish this, we have to enter into an agreement with the state for them to give us the money. And then we have to enter into an agreement with Tesla for us to reimburse them the amounts that they paid the state. So.
And also, just for further clarification, the amount involved here percentage-wise is 2.75%. These are the items that the state cannot abate, but they can provide to us to then incent the development of the Tesla project. So there'll be 2.75% coming back. The rest of it is abated by the state within the provisions of SB 1.
Plus, one other provision in the ordinance is that this doesn't become effective until we've entered it. But part of SB 1 was is that Tesla was allowed to enter into negotiations with us to defer, and thank for them, not getting any tax exemption, but we're going to incur costs because of moving into the park, which I think are referred to as direct costs. So this ordinance does, SB 1 enabled us to negotiate with them to have them pay us direct costs. Additionally, allowed us to negotiate with them about our fees.
Yes.
And this ordinance says that it doesn't become effective until we've entered into an agreement in regards to those matters. Mm-hmm. That way we know that we're going to, they can't just get the ordinance passed and then blow us off in terms of the subsidies that the legislature said they could give us, as well as us negotiating with them about the fees.
Okay. Anybody have any questions, discussion on this? Ms. Bart?
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. So when the document says, or the contract or resolution says lead participant, it's Tesla?
Yeah.
Yes. Is there a reason it can't say Tesla? Just curious.
Because it could be any other company that came into the park and made the same investment.
And if I can explain, actually, the word participant is an important word underlined in SB 1. This ordinance, Mr. Morris, I should have also thanked you specifically as well, because certainly both Bob and Bill had tremendous time and effort into this. But this ordinance is crafted in such a way that with very little change or amendment, another one could come. And then at our discretion, we could consider it based on the overall pictures, including the negotiations that we've mentioned. But the bill specifically identifies a lead participant, that is Tesla Motors in this case, and then there are other participants, presumably those like Panasonic and others that have been identified in the media. So that, again, it's clear everything that's involved in this project is subject to the provisions of this ordinance, both from Tesla, Panasonic, and any other participants in it.
Okay, so the today lead participant is Tesla. In the future, could be Panasonic if they co-locate.
Correct.
Okay. When you said that this would apply, and you just said it as well, that this would apply to other companies, what is the standard that those companies would have to meet in order to participate in these abatements?
There are a number embedded into SB 1, and it's been a little while, Ms. Bard, since I've looked at that, but it's a minimum investment of $3.5 billion over 10 years. It's hiring 50% plus one, I believe, Nevada residents. It's obviously obtaining certification of eligibility from the Governor's Office of Economic Development. And I apologize, I can answer you more in depth that I don't know every provision.
No, okay. So is that requirement, those standards, should that be a part of this document? Because the way I read it, anybody can – I only read it this morning because it only came out this morning, but it doesn't mention SB 1. It doesn't mention meeting the requirements in SB 1 in order to qualify for this. Because the way this is written, I could go in there, buy some land, and ask for the 2.34% kickback.
No, you'd have to be, the state would have to qualify you for that.
Is that in here?
Before you could do that.
Well, that's in state law. That's something you need to address to go at.
This is just the first reading.
No, but that's why I'm asking. I'm just saying, as I read this, it doesn't stipulate to what standard other companies. You're establishing an entire district. You've got one lead participant today. There may be other participants coming in. If this is tied to SB 1, then it needs to refer, I would think, to the requirements in SB 1 to qualify under this resolution. That's all.
No, it doesn't talk about that.
That's something we could look at before the second reading and come back with a definitive answer for you.
Okay, I'm just saying, as I read it, it seems kind of loose that way. Like I said, I could go over there and buy land, and according to this, not pay.
Although, you know, again, I agree with Mr. Morris that certainly we can take another look at this from the perspective you're thinking. I respect that. But the ordinance also specifically identifies by legal description the parcels involved in this, and each and every one of those parcels are owned by Tesla Motors as of the close of escrow last week before last.
That was going to be my next question, is so where you usually have maps, so hopefully by next reading you can show us on a map what it is. So the land currently owned by Tesla is what is described in this ordinance? So
that is correct.
Okay. So that's that. And then just because I don't understand the way it's written, but this says it reimburses for infrastructure and all of that Tesla is going to be building. How is that infrastructure, as referred to here in the document, as well as the staff summary, how is that different than the infrastructure that we as Story County, that TRI builds and then bills us for and adds to our debt? What's the difference between the infrastructure mentioned in here and the infrastructure that we as Story County are responsible for?
Again, I don't want to overshout my legal counsel, so you guys can always correct me. The infrastructure that we participate under our public-private partnership agreements with Tahoe Reno Industry Center are improvements that are made on a pre-approved basis by the developer, pre-approved by us, and then dedicated to us with debt that approaches. This is all on private property, and there will be no obligation beyond what we're getting from taxation for the 2.75%.
Okay, so that's why I'm confused. If you look at the staff summary, where in the last one, two, three, four, five sentences, six sentences, blah, 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 pursuant to which that owner would agree to make payments to Story County or to another local government that provides services to District 1 or to both to defray in whole or in part the cost of local government services during the term of the use of any money pledged pursuant to the chapter. What does that mean?
Okay. Specifically, it's, again, inclusive in SB 1. That language, as I recall, came directly from the bill. And what it allows us to do, for instance, is we know Tesla will have an impact on the county. Okay, we may need a building inspector. We may need more in the fire EMS side of the house. We hope we don't grow a whole lot. But this provision specifically from SB 1 allows us to negotiate with Tesla as the lead participant and say, these are our costs. You need to help us here.
So that is a provision, or is that a provision separate and apart from what declares that the 2.75% automatically just goes through? They pay the state pays us, we just flush it right back to them. There's no holdback on our part in this ordinance for services that we provide them and things that we're going to have to add to?
Again, I refer to legal counsel except to say there's a provision in the ordinance itself that says nothing in the ordinance is effective until this occurs and is approved.
Okay. Again, I read this very quickly this morning, so I know I've probably missed a lot. I don't know where this section that I just read out of the staff report portion appears in that language in the resolution itself.
Should it?
This, I'm not saying it's not there. I'm just saying
the ordinance should be The last one is 3.50.110, which talks about the fact that the chapter shall not be effective until the date on which Story County's enter into an agreement with one or more owners of the property within the district. It goes on to talk about to defray in whole or in part the cost of local government services during the term or use of any money pledged pursuant to this chapter. So
okay, so that language is in there.
Okay, so, I just read that from the ordinance.
Okay, perfect. Then we will be negotiating with them to help us cover our immediate out-of-pocket expenses to support that project.
We are negotiating, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I could suggest, have you read SB1? Nicole?
No.
Okay, well, read that and read the public-private partnership agreement that we have with TRI. That's, you can go to the Tahoe Regional Industrial Park. They have that agreement on there. And then read this ordinance. If you read them all in conjunction, and you read them over about 10 times like I have at some point in time, this all starts making sense. And I'm not too sure that I did a real good job in my staff summary of summarizing. What I did is I cut and pasted out of SB1 some of the language in it to prepare the staff summary. So I apologize if it isn't as clear as, I think Mr. Thomas described it as clear as mud to me, but maybe it's because I'm getting old and not as eloquent as I was when I was a younger man like Mr. Thomas.
In your staff summary, the word Tesla never appeared.
Well, we want to avoid using names to the degree that we can of ordinances that we pass, because even though this ordinance alone applies to Tesla and the land of God, we try to avoid using the name of the ordinance if we could. So.
Does anyone else have any questions or discussion on this? I think just for clarification, too, this is simply a sales tax pass-through. It doesn't cost Story County. We're not losing any tax revenue. It's not costing us any extra tax revenue. They'll pay the tax. The state will collect it. The state will reimburse, will pass it to Story County, and Story County back to Tesla again.
And we did want to make sure in the ordinance that that was clear, that we only had to pay them what we got from the state. So we made sure that was in this ordinance. So this fleshes out a little bit more in the agreements that we make with the state and Tesla, because we have to make two agreements that will be on the next agenda, and hopefully will be out to the public quicker than this ordinance was. And just with the holidays and everything, we got behind on getting stuff on the way for the public to look at. But then this is just the first reading.
Well, and I think also just for some clarification as to reality, we essentially use two legal counsel. I think at one stage of the game, in addition to outside counsel, Tesla had either a total of 27 to 30 different legal counselors that were reviewing these documents. So there's been an awful lot of work gone in by our legal staff that I'm very appreciative of.
I'd just like to observe that I thought the last few months I was here I was going to be able to just get things settled and I'd be able to gracefully move out of the county. And again, I feel like an old horse is being rode hard and put up wet, because we have a whole lot of things going on right now. So
you might have to stick around for a while.
No, I have to take a week off or something. I have it this year, so.
Anyone else? This time, call for a motion.
What are we doing?
Calling for a motion to approve the first reading.
Oh, right.
Item number 11.
Okay, motion to approve first reading and ordinance number 14-260.
I'll second your motion.
Before you vote on it, could you have it read into the record?
Sure.
Okay, the title is an ordinance adding chapter 3.50 to the Story County Code, creating the Story County Economic Diversification District number 1, and providing for other properly related matters.
Thank you. We have a motion. I'll second it. It's been moved and seconded to approve the first reading of ordinance number 14-260. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. All right, now we're going to move along to item number 12. This is discussion only. Committee and staff reports. From the River District, we have Marilee Miller today. Would you like to start, Marilee? Thank you.
Marilee Miller from the River District, and I thank the commissioners, Mr. Witten, Vanessa, and Mr. Maddox and his staff. Okay, I'm here to do two. I'm going to start with John. He's attending Hillside School today, has a large veterans recognition and luncheon for them every year, and he's there today attending that. So I'm going to do his report first. I have some pictures here. There's a set of them that goes to the commissioners. So I'll just start here, and they can look at them, and I'll tell you what they are. They're not in any order. You're going to get a picture of a fence and the playground, and all the wood chips that used to be in the playground are back in the playground. They have been through the schoolyard and everywhere else for the last few years, but they have been moved back to the playground. Sagebrush has been removed on the west side between the cement barriers beside the community building. All of that has been cleaned out. The trees have been trimmed up so you can at least see around there. The trees have been left, but all of the weeds and sagebrush have been cleaned off of the east side of the community building between that and the park. There's been bricks installed around the larger trees to protect them from the mower, and you'll see that in the pictures. Wood chips have been put around the smaller red cedars to protect them from the mower. We lost two of the red cedar because the mower had chipped off enough bark that they finally expired. We couldn't save them. The two trees that were lost, one of them was by the baseball diamond, and it's been replaced by a butterfly bush. And the second bush was planted in the southwest corner, and it's a forsythia. So those are the large things that were accomplished today at the park, besides just the everyday maintenance of making sure everything is proper. The swing set had been removed this summer, the one that was coming apart. And there's a request from the school district and a lot of the patrons in Rainbow Bend and Lockwood to put another one back, because this one held the small, this is for the smaller children, and it was like a whole seat with legs and stuff that they could sit in. Now we only have the swings for the larger children, and they would like to know about getting the swing set replaced with either two or three swings in it for smaller children. So that's my report for the park. And this set of pictures for the park goes to Mike Nevin, which I'm going to give to Sherry, so that they can see what they've been done there. The second half of the report is for the Lockwood Rainbow Bend Community Building. Oh, my, my. These pictures are for you to keep. This is the improvements. For those of you who have not been there recently, we now have an overhang on both sides of the building. We have a storage shed in the back of the building that stores our stuff. We have stuff. We don't have much storage inside that building, so now we have gained storage on the outside. This building is painted the same as the Fourth Ward School. There was new trim around the windows and doors put on before it was painted. It's absolutely gorgeous. The sign off the front has been removed. It has gone back for a little upgrade. It was a blue and white sign. Oh, hello. If we're having red-brown trim, we need to probably repaint the trim on this sign to match what we have. So I spoke with Sherry, and she's going to look into this. And besides that, now that was the big thing, but this is what we've done. This is what the community building has done for itself this year. We participated in the community garage sale, purchased curtains and curtain rods, purchased a sofa, and bookshelves were installed on the north wall of the social room. For the county, New flooring was installed throughout the dining room and the social room. Overhangs were installed on both sides of the building. Window and door trim was added. A storage shed was installed on the back side of the building. Building and trim have been painted. That was the county's part. We had a birthday party over there yesterday for a woman that was 80. There was about 50 people there, and I'm not exaggerating. At least 49 of those people came up to me and said, "Oh, my God, Marilee, we love this building. It looks like Story County. It looks like it's a Western building. It looks like a bunkhouse." You remember all the old Westerns with bunkhouses with all of the sides on? It's gorgeous. I mean, it has made such a difference up there. So I just want to warn you that now that we have the building and the inside pretty well done, we get our 501c3, we might want a commercial kitchen. We'll see what we can get out of that. And the thing that I'm going to look at personally for my group is to come up with some kind of desert scape design for the outside lot-lying properties and redo the parking lot, make it a little bigger and stripe it, because when you get that many cars there, they're just jammed everywhere. So we're going to think about what we would like on the outside to make that look really nice, not the building, but the area. Going to start that on the 18th. If anybody would like to come to our meeting and give us some hints, we'll be more than happy to have it. But that is our that is my report, and I'm giving you both of these final reports.
Great. Thank you, Marilee.
Thank you.
And it's only because of the hard work of you and your volunteers, your husband, that all of this gets done down there. So it's, you know, I know that Sherry helps you guys out a lot.
Yes,
and
yeah, it looks very nice.
You've got the commissioners and all the staff behind you on this.
Thank you.
Out of the comptroller's office, Mr. Gallagher, would you like to go next? That week, maybe we could wrap up this item number 8 on the consent agenda as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Hugh Gallagher, Story County Comptroller. In relation to the treasurer's accounting, there are two negative, there's actually more negative balances in there, but the park fund is a negative $2,600. This is cash balance, not ending fund balance, Mark. So it's just cash balance. And jail has a $92,679.11 negative cash balance. And the reason that they're sitting here now is that we're waiting for the audited financial report for the period ending June 30th, 2014. When that comes out, we're going to compare those. The jail fund deficit will be absorbed by the general fund, and there will be a full accounting of all the stuff that's in the park fund, so we should be fine with that. Okay, so it will be rectified after the report on the auditor's financial position as of June of 2014. We will make our necessary adjustments, and this should clear that up. So that's where we are with the treasurer's report. Those statements should be here probably, if not this week, probably first of next week. I'll try and get them approved before. If we're going to have a special meeting later on in December, if not, I may have it for the second. But we will be well within the November 30th time frame for that report to be given to us. So I expect that any day now. Last week, Mr. Osborne, myself, and a couple of staff members attended a Public Employees Retirement System, their annual conference. At in Reno, their spiel at that point in time was that they do not anticipate any further increases in PERS contribution rates this upcoming legislative session. Now, understanding that that has never happened in PERS, and the fact that in 1975, I think it was both, they were both set at 17 cents. per dollar, 17% on a dollar. Right now we're at 25.75 for all of our general employees, and we are at 40.5 for police fire. So going with the premise that they don't anticipate any increases this next legislative session, I'm a little skeptical, and if you believe that, then I've got some oceanfront property behind the Mizpah Hotel in Tonopah that I'd be willing to sell somebody. It's just not going to happen. It'll probably increase. But at any rate, they had some talk about how to fund it separately, different contribution plans other than the full plan, whatever, but I don't anticipate that happening in the near future. So that's what happened on the Crew side.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Gallagher. Now, the Community Services, Sherry, your report today.
Good afternoon, Commissioner. Sherry Nevin for the record. On October 30th, the governor urged all residents of Nevada to join together to sing Home Means Nevada at the same time in an attempt to set the world record. I'm happy to report that here in Virginia City, we had 198 people show up to Piper's Opera House, and we helped the state set that record. They also sang down at the Hillside Elementary School in Lockwood. So it was a really fun event, and I thank you to everyone that came out for that. The community health nurse has been busy getting set up at the health center, which was formerly the Hawk Clinic. The library has been moved downstairs. Community health nurse is there Wednesdays, every other Wednesday, up until January 1st, and then we should have coverage every single Wednesday. We're also working to get some interns from UNR to help Community Chest develop an electronic records management system and to also assist with some case management software just for fee recovery and stuff like that. So it's exciting. We've had quite the good working relationship with both Carson City Health and Human Services and Community Chest to launch this program. The structural condition assessment report for the courthouse here related to seismic has been completed. We received that report about 2 weeks ago, and we're currently working on applying for a historic preservation grant to assist with some of those recommendations that were presented to us. As Mary Lee mentioned, the facelift at the Lockwood Senior Center looks great. I'd like to personally thank Jason, Jeff, and Larry from Public Works for all the work that they've spent down there several weeks getting that done. It looks great. And we'll get the sign improved and get that back down there on the building. This coming Saturday, we have close to 30 Navy personnel that are going to be here in our communities doing some community service work. About 25 of those will be down at the Mark Twain Community Center. They're ecstatic to have them. And then about 15 will be up here at the Fire Museum in Virginia City doing some painting work on the interior of the building. So if you have a chance over the weekend on Saturday to drop by, they should be there from 9 to approximately 3. Thank them for their efforts. They've been great to work with, so we're really excited to have them here. So that's all I have for today.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry. Let's see here. Chief Deputy Keener from the Sheriff's Office, have a report today?
Excuse me. Melanie Keener with the Sheriff's Office. Last time I spoke up here, Ms. Langer told me that I looked way too serious, so she told me to smile more. So I'm smiling for you, Ann. The sheriff cannot be here. He's at the Nevada Sheriffs and Chiefs Conference in Las Vegas, so he will be back this weekend. But he wanted me to share that the new vehicles are expected to arrive and be ready within 4 to 6 weeks, and 4, possibly 5 of those vehicles will be available for resourcing to other county offices if the need exists. Let's see, the CERT team has been immensely helpful during the several past events. 3 more have graduated the CERT Academy in Washoe County, and the sheriff has spoken with Austin, and Austin Osborne will be finishing up the necessary paperwork to the satisfaction of all concerned. And let's see, lastly, he said that he is glad that general election has passed us, that we can all move forward with all areas of the county coming together to do the work of the people. And that's it.
Great. Thank you.
Nice smile.
Yeah, let's see it.
Now get Gary to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll work on that.
Hello. Commissioner Luck McGuffey, you got anything today? Anything today, Mr. McGuffey?
No, not yet. I'm saving it up.
Okay.
What are you doing, Jack? Compiling a list?
D.A. Maddox?
No, I don't have anything. I don't know if Dan does or not.
Talk about football or anything like that.
I could. The A&M beat Auburn, as many of you might have seen. So we played Missouri this week with Singleton and team shows up.
There you go.
Going from 59 to nothing against Alabama, beating the number 3 team in the country, Auburn. So we'll see what happens this week.
All right. Assistant D.A. Langer? Special counsel Morris? None? Mr. Whitten.
Okay, well, I'm reporting first for Gary Hames. We are, once again, we've been selected for the NSFA, which is the Nevada State Firefighters Association, as the host county for their June 2015 annual conference. This is a large conference that takes a lot of planning, so Gary put all department heads on notice this morning that he'll be reaching out to all of us again to each help make it happen as smoothly as it did back in 2011. On our December 2nd item will be a small housekeeping cleanup item from the USDA in regards to the loan closing. In November, we received a form to complete, which was done, but unfortunately it was for the private sector, not the public sector. This new form is supposed to be the proper one. That's on the construction or purchase of the structure engines. Speaking of which, they completed the pre-construction meeting with the Ferrara facility in Louisiana. All the clarifications have been made in writing, and the clock has started for the 210-day timeline that they get for completion. Attached to that also, we were getting new replacement chassis for our ambulances, and they have been ordered through state purchasing, but we're still awaiting a delivery date. Our new fire prevention officer, Fritz Klingler, has completed all of his requisite fire certification courses. This had to be done within the first year of his employment, and he actually accomplished that, I believe, in 4, maybe 5 months max. He's settling into the position extremely well and has become truly a very vital member of our team. Our fire department's also purchased a module that coincides with their firehouse fire records management system for fire inspections. This is along the lines we've been working collaboratively with District Attorney Maddox on trying to track exactly how much time we spend out in the field on inspections for new buildings, inspections annually for businesses. This will help. Everything goes into an iPad that they carry with them, and it downloads automatically through the cloud, speeds up paperwork, and allows us to send an email copy to the business while still at on-site at the building. That's Chief Hames. From my desk, I'll defer on the ARDA open house to Chairman McBride since he's got the glitz, but I would tell you that it was a phenomenal open house. There are always 3 good days when we get new major businesses like Ardaw. That's the day they shovel the first dirt, or in this case started with the first jackhammer. The second day is when we go to a grand opening like many of us did last Wednesday. And the third usually is, maybe except for Tesla, when they make their first property tax payments. So we'll get to that down the road. Again, I probably have said this before, but I'll say it again. We currently, right now, do not have another meeting scheduled for the month of November. We anticipate right now our regularly scheduled meeting will occur the first Tuesday in December, which is December 2nd. That takes us up to the 16th if we were to have a second meeting, which is getting pretty close to the last of the holidays. So we'll probably try to steer away from that one, but either that one still might happen, or probably more likely we may have to have a special meeting or two to address urgent needs. I want to speak next to the fact that Commissioner Gilman, Vice Chairman Gilman, is not here today. You know, he's I work for him just like we all work for the people of the county. It's always fun when a commissioner sends me an email asking if he can be excused from a meeting. He is meeting today with yet another large facility that wants to locate in the county. Typically, these types of meetings cannot be avoided as they bring in site selectors and oftentimes now plant owners from out of state, sometimes even out of country, so he expresses his regrets. And I put the challenge to him, just make sure you win, and we'll go from there. I also want to commend Commissioner-elect McGuffey. I waited till the results of the election on Tuesday night and met up with him briefly and invited him to an event at 10 o'clock the next morning. And Jack rearranged his whole work schedule and attended that ARDA open house and will also be joining us in Ely as early as, I believe, Monday to attend the public officials workshop and the conference there. Lastly, again, I want to point out two more things. Sherry mentioned our relationship with Carson City Health and Community Health. We've struggled with this for years, and I think we finally found the right formula with Carson City Health. Other than one frightening incident with Mr. Maddox having to disrobe in the Mark Twain Community Center for a flu shot. We went down there. I think that was our community nurse again, was down there giving shots. She's a wonderful lady, and it's going great. And then Sherry also mentioned seismic work that we had done on a SWAT basis on the courthouse roof. Commissioner Chauvin, thank you very much. That was your brilliant observation over what kind of sheeting do we have on the roof. How do we address, you know, the stability? So, again, Sherry was able to put together some grant monies and county monies to bring a very eminent historic structures engineer, I believe, Terrence Toby, or Mel Green, and also Terrence Toby. We've now got a great structures base that we can go forward with future historic preservation grants on this building, as we have done with the Fourth Ward and others in the past. That's my report.
Great. Thank you. We'll move along. I think I covered everybody on staff. I think I did.
I think so.
Did I miss anybody? All right. Moving along now to item number 13, board comment. Commissioner Chauvin.
I thank that. I worked with Mel in the past on a number of goals up here. Got some good ideas. I did a couple of restoration plans with him. Let's see. Following up on some of the BDRs that are in right now, I think we're up to about 560 right now, and that should be it for a little while yet. Because of the new dynamic in Carson City now after the election, I see a lot of these BDRs are obsolete already, and they'll probably be pulled. And I also see some others that are going to be, I would hope, they're going to be combined. So we'll see the BDR list, I think, shrink. And, of course, that will give them just that many more that they can dream up, because they're going to hit that 1,200 or so mark no matter what. Gold Hill Depot. Several of us went down there over Nevada Day. Wow, what a phenomenal deal that is. That is a wonderful, wonderful venue. It was packed to the hilt. We did the unveiling of the portrait that Comstock Mining commissioned. It was literally standing room only. The train going down was full. After Gordon Sampson sold us that building for $1 70 years ago, roughly, finally, we've been able to do something with that building, and the guys have done an outstanding job on it. So it's if you haven't seen it yet, I would encourage you to go down and take a look at that. That's all I have.
That's great. Thank you, Commissioner Chauvin. I got a couple of items. The Nevada Day Parade in Virginia City was spectacular. It was long. It was over an hour long. It was county staff was involved and Commissioner Schwagen there, as well as the following day in Carson City. Yeah. Story County participated in that. So both parades were well attended. Fantastic turnouts both for the participants and for the spectators. I was at both of them. It was great. Having the U.S. Navy band up here again, we haven't had them here in many years, was like the highlight, I think, the patriotism that it shows that this community has. Yesterday as well with the Veterans Day Parade. Outstanding coordination of putting these together. It's not just the parade. There's a lot of work that goes into this. And between the coordination and the speaker, the announcers, the parade announcers, and they all did a great job. So, since I live here, no one enjoys it more than I do to have a good parade. Although we have a parade for every event in Virginia City, but Veterans Day was very special. A lot of vets here. Last week, as County Manager Witten pointed out, we went down to the Tri for a grand opening of RDAW. They're a can manufacturer down there, and this is a little paperweight that they gave us, and it's got one of their cans in it. They make tomato paste cans and soup cans and coffee cans, and you wouldn't think it's a big deal, except with half a staff of about 70 employees, they produce 2 million cans a day. And when they get up to full production, they'll be producing over 5 million cans every day with a staff of about 140 employees. They currently have an investment into the county of $80 million in the equipment and the renovation of an existing structure down there. So these are good-paying jobs. That's why they were brought to the table by, I think, the Governor's Office of Economic Development was involved with that, along with EDON. And, of course, with the tri-partners down there putting the whole deal together. But this is exactly what economic development is. It's manufacturing. These are good-paying jobs. They do get abatements on some of their taxes, like every other person or other company that puts a big investment like that into Nevada. But it's still good for the county, and we're going to come out well on this. And if we have anybody in that area that's looking for the good skilled job, because they do hire a lot of engineers down there to operate this equipment. So along with that, my final thing is to congratulate everyone who was fortunate enough to win their election, those who had opposition and those that didn't. It's always nicer when you don't have anybody running against you. And congratulations to those who did run and not succeed. We know it's a lot of effort for those of us that have gone through that. So anyway, it's community service, whether you're elected or not, when you go through the ropes like that. So thank you to all of you.
Can I jump back in for a minute, Mr. Chairman?
Certainly.
I neglected, again, to comment on one more, I think, major event, and that was last Tuesday, but not from a results-oriented basis, but from a logistical basis. Ever since 2005, our clerk treasurer has asked me, when I left elected office, has asked me to help out in various ways with the election process. Typically, that's something as low-key and low-level as just simply posting the results on the Internet that some of you follow during the election night. I have to tell you, I'm astounded at the work that goes in and the quality of the results that come out. I know there were probably a few of you out there and, quite frankly, a few of us in here that were kind of holding our breath with that last delay. A delay I want to point out that Vanessa and her team had resolved, I can't say wait, had resolved probably by no later than I think 10 to 9 or 9 latest, while Washoe County was hung up until after midnight with what presumably looks like an identical archaic process. But the three ladies in our clerk's office and all the people in the polling places and everybody that takes time to be there, whenever those designated hours are, including I walked in on Friday, Nevada Day, because there were many people that wanted to exercise their right to vote on our 150th birthday. So I think Vanessa needs a huge round of thanks, and her team, for pulling off yet another super smooth victory. You do two every 2 years, and thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa.
That was great. Okay, now let's move right along to item number 14. This will be the discussion and possible action of the second reading of Ordinance 14-259, amending Story County Code Section 3.12.012, updating the plan of projects for the proceeds of the infrastructure tax, and providing for other properly related matters. Mr. Morris.
Good afternoon, Board. Robert Morris for the record. On September 16th of this year, the Board revised and approved a plan of projects for the infrastructure tax, and as well as certain expenditures. This ordinance will meet the requirements of NRS 377B.110 that the specific purpose of the funds be included in our ordinance. And so it's kind of a housekeeping ordinance, but it's a requirement that it be updated to keep current with the plan. And so unless there are some questions, I would ask you to approve the second reading.
Thank you. Come on up, Mr. Thomas.
For the record, Dave Thomas, as you may recall, I always speak on this particular topic. In terms of the specific projects on here, and I have some questions about some of them. I have a comment about one item on here I believe should be removed. So I'll just start at the top on replacement of the Lakeview water line. As I indicated, I believe it was last February. I don't believe that this is an appropriate use of county funds, because it subsidizes utility costs for less than 25% of the county residents. And I don't know how many hookups there are in Virginia City. I'll speculate 600. If there are 600 hookups in VC Gold Hill, at the $3 million cost, that amounts to $5,000 per hookup. Residents of the Highlands and Mark Twain, who combined represent about 50% of the people in the county, probably pay in excess of $20,000 each to get their wells drilled, and they pay that same $5,000 every time they have to get their pump replaced, which typically occurs every 10 to 15 years. I will leave that alone, that topic. Under buildings and grounds, we have an item here, DA Sheriff's building purchase for $300,000. This item should not be in the infrastructure fund. And I have given Hugh Gallagher the backup explaining why. That building was purchased in 2012. During 2012, in the audit report prepared by David Pringle, the expenditure for that building, which actually amounted to $424,000, was charged to capital improvements to the sheriff department. That's the general fund. You cannot charge the same project to two different funds. So it can never be charged to the infrastructure fund, because it's already been bought and it's been charged to the general fund. In 2012, fiscal 2012, the audit report shows zero expenditures from the infrastructure fund, and the $424,000 was charged against the general fund. So I'm just making this observation. That project should not be on here. And I think that Hugh Gallagher would probably agree with that assessment if he was still here. Okay, well, I'll finish, and you can make a comment on that. I suppose one theoretically could try and fix it through an interfund transfer, whereby $300,000 from the infrastructure fund was transferred back into the general fund. However, if that is the case, that means that the 2012 audit report is wrong, because it's already been charged. And I might suggest, in the absence of some sort of fix like that, and this is sort of a tongue-in-cheek suggestion, but it sort of isn't, move the $300,000 down to the community development section under a new project titled Highlands Community Center. The Highlands is by far the largest residential community in Story County, and it is the only residential section of Story County that has no community center. The third item I have, and this is more in the nature of a question, why did the cost of the courthouse parking lot renovation increase by 150% over a 10-month period? It went from $300,000 to $750,000.
I can answer that one.
Go ahead.
David, the initial number was literally nothing more than a best guess. Since then, we have begun to engage with an engineering firm, Far West Engineering, and they have given us a high side and a low side. I believe the high side, Jesse Redmond's not here, she's our project manager, is around $400,000. The high side sits at $750,000 to $800,000, to be honest with you. And they can't determine whether we're looking at the higher end, middle of that, or the lower end until they do specific soils testing on the stability of the wall back here. The soils testing has been commissioned as a part of that project with Black Eagle Consulting, and that should help us dial in within the next 30-ish days as to what we will need to do in order to get a safe wall or what other solutions we might seek.
Okay. It's just generally one does not get an estimate of that range.
We choked as well. So.
The last item that I have on here, and this is unchanged, under TRI, you have county road repair and county damage, drainage and erosion. Have those funds been expended at this point in time or not?
No, sir, we've not. I'm looking for Hugh. To the best of my knowledge, we've not expended any funds yet out of this plan whatsoever that I know of.
Okay, and a related question to that. Given that the county is no longer responsible for the maintenance of USA Parkway, should these items be removed from this project list?
I would argue absolutely not. There, every ancillary road there, including Waltham Way, which is a significant road, actually the original road within the park, as well as other areas, still are requiring maintenance and upgrades. May we spend it a lot slower over time? Certainly. I mean, this is a dynamic listing, if you will. But we still have obligations under our developer agreement on miles and miles of road, as well as drainage related, sometimes near the road, sometimes not, that does not have anything directly to do with USA Parkway or NDOT's assumption of maintenance on it.
No, I'm aware of that. I just wanted to ask the question. So this is just a general, we may have to spend this at some point in time.
Yes, above and beyond what we may or may not have in our roads account.
Why would it be coming out of, just out of curiosity, why isn't it coming out of the road fund as opposed to the infrastructure fund?
We try that oftentimes. However, the roads, again, are applied countywide. And the problem that we get into, there are very few revenue sources for the roads because we don't have the same fuel taxes Washoe County has. So we have revenue shortfall issues oftentimes in roads that we have to be cognizant of.
I am very aware of the transfers from the general fund to the road fund over the last 10 years.
Yep.
And yes, the road fund, roughly $300,000 a year it usually
yes.
gets from the general fund.
That is correct.
Last, just an observation, even on the revised list, the Highlands are a third of the county's population. The Highlands is the only community in the county without a community center. And out of this $7+ million list of projects, not $1 is going to the Highlands. And what I am going to do personally over the next couple of months, and I will work with Vanessa to make sure that I get the form of this correct, I'm going to circulate a petition in the Highlands to request the construction of a community center.
If I may address that?
Sure.
You're welcome to do that. I would also tell you again, we've had official requests from individuals down in Mark Twain for flood control,
yeah,
from Painted Rock. To the best of my knowledge, we've never had a real formal request, although I've heard it. I can't say I've never heard of a community center. Rather than go through the entire process of a petition, if you simply went to both homeowners associations, the ones and the tens, and said, would you endorse us requesting consideration of the county for inclusion on this list, I'd be more than willing to bet your staff would recommend to the county.
That is a possibility.
My name, Mr. Chairman. I have to concur with the county manager that the Highlands has never made a request for anything. I went to a meeting out there, and they listed a whole bunch of things that they would like to have, including a community center. Still haven't seen anything from them. So I think you people who live in the Highlands need to get your act together and submit to us what you want. You might begin by having one of your representatives show up at county commission meetings. We have representatives from Mark Twain, the River District, Virginia City. Highlands never has a representative show up here. So you might want to take that into consideration. I would be happy. I would support a community center out there. We've looked at the land. We've discussed it. But until you people get your act together and tell us what you want, we're not going to go just arbitrarily build something and then turn around and have you complaining about, well, that's not what we wanted first. We wanted that third or fifth or something. So I'm not picking on you directly, Dave. It's just a
I understand.
General statement that you know, I think you understand where we're coming from on that, that you're like a bunch of scattered cats out there. You just can't seem to come together and give us a definitive thing.
To a degree, that is true. However, I would suggest that there are other organizations out there other than the HOAs. They would certainly be part of it. But what the Highlands needs to do is to create an informal community council that will also represent WERPA.
That's a good suggestion.
Both associations.
We've suggested to you for years now that you should do away with your homeowners associations and form a single GID for the 1s, 10s, 40s, whatever, so that you have some leadership out there, some organization, and you get a lot of money and tax benefits. So, I mean, I hear what you're telling us, and I know you're one individual, and there's a lot of folks out there that feel different ways about different things, but, you know, it's kind of a give and take thing. We have to have, someone's got to be, you know, the focal point out there, and it doesn't seem to be any. With your 1Z, 2Z, 10Z's, all your different organizations, it's not an easy thing for us to deal with.
Agreed. I believe Hugh wanted to say something.
Well, and while he comes up, let me again make some suggestions. My ones and tens was simply to try to find an easier way for you. Typically, when we look at almost anything from moratoriums, you know, on swimming pools or whatever, we look to those two groups as the organized bodies that seem to be able to speak. And I would tell you, one thing we have said in almost every meeting where this has been discussed is this whole process is a dynamic process. Now, I'll acknowledge that the fact that it's required to be in an ordinance makes that process a little more tedious than I would wish it would be, but things are going to appear on the list for a while and then possibly drop off. And I'll give you a classic example. Both the VNT Depot purchase and the VNT Restoration purchase, those currently are either not on the market or not on the market at a price the county can legally buy them. So some of these things may never happen, make room for others. And then I also point you to, and I apologize, I don't know how much money is in that fund right now, but we also have a capital projects, capital improvements fund. I would tell you there are a number of ways that we could look toward meeting the needs of the good people of the Highlands once we knew what that was through whatever processes happened.
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Mr. Chairman, concerning the DA Sheriff building purchase, I mean, this happened very quickly in 2012, probably the last day of the last fiscal year when the documents were signed. Didn't have a chance to go into infrastructure because we never had a plan at that time either. So we couldn't book that. So what we did is we booked that, and with the advice of David Pringle, we did make that a capital A object or a capital outlay project for the under the sheriff's department. But we also booked a note payable on a long-term obligation in the general fund. So consequently, we still have money that we owe on this building. Some of this money, this will be a discussion with Pringle whether or not, and the Department of Taxation on what avenues we can to transfer those funds if we can. And if we can't, we won't do it, obviously. But the thought process is if it's available and it's legal, then what we would do is the further payments from that we are going to pay on that note will come out of the infrastructure fund. So that's probably pretty much where we are now.
Okay. Does that answer your question, Mr. Thomas?
Depends on the size of the note versus what's in the infrastructure fund. That's what it depends on.
Any more discussion on this? Okay. So, I'm looking for a motion.
Okay.
For approval of the second reading. Item 14.
We'll make a motion then to approve the second reading of Ordinance 14-259, amending the Story County Code, Section 3.12.012, updating the plan of projects for proceeds of infrastructure tax and providing for other properly related matters.
I'll second that motion. It's been moved and second for approval of Ordinance 14-259. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, aye, and the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 15. This is discussion of possible action. Canvass the election results for the general election held in and for Story County, State of Nevada, on November the 4th, 2014.
Mr. Chairman, since our clerk treasurer is diligently taking minutes, I'll attempt to staff this and keep it short and sweet. NRS requires that election results be canvassed by the governing board. That would be you, I believe within 10 days of the election, as I recall. We, over the years, have done this various ways, including every result. However, the clerk treasurer, who's also our registrar of voters, has advised me that since this information is identical to information provided to the Secretary of State and publicly posted on their website, as well as publicly posted on our website and available through periodicals, that all we are asking for you to do is to canvass the results of the general election for November 4th, 2014.
Of course, that's exactly the reason why this meeting was scheduled today, so we could be in compliance with 10 days after the election, and we will, and several of us will not be here next week because we're going to be attending Nevada NACO. So, is there any discussion on this? Do I have any questions regarding this?
Has the old saying goes, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
So with that motion to approve the canvas of the election results for November 4th, 2014.
I'll second your motion. Been moved and second for approval of the canvas for the election results of November the 4th, 2014. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 16, discussion of possible action, the first reading of Ordinance 14-261, and Ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 5.16, Prostitution, to change the name to brothels, amending the procedure for revoking a license, and changing requirements on work cards and providing for other properly related matters.
Mr. Chairman, before Mr. Morris speaks, I do want to clarify one item. This is my miscommunication to our council. I may have indicated that this part of the process really started out with communications between Chris Thompson and myself on behalf of the brothel. That is incorrect. Mr. Thomas came to me actually on behalf of the Lance Gilman Family Trust, where he is the risk manager. So.
Okay. Mr. Morris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, Robert Morris for the record. If it's okay with the chairman, I'll read the title. This is an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 5.16, Prostitution, to change the name to brothels, amending the procedure for revoking a license, and changing requirements on work cards and providing for other properly related matters. This is a first reading, and it's going to be a little different than what we normally do with ordinances. We try to present the board with a final product as quickly as possible. In this case, what I did was integrate the suggested changes to the ordinance. They show up as underlined text. Just sort of due to time constraints, we weren't able to review it sufficiently to make the changes we wanted to do as speaking on behalf of the district attorney's office and the sheriff's office. And so what I'm suggesting that you go ahead and introduce the ordinance and that we'll have written comments or changes provided to the board before the second reading. And at the second reading, the board can, if there is a difference of opinion as to what text should be in the ordinance, the board will then be able to look at both sides and make a decision. And hopefully it won't slow things down very much, but I'm thinking that it's the best way to handle the situation currently. And unless there's any specific questions about the introduction, I'd leave it.
I got through it, and I found one instance where the word shall was not stricken through. And other than that, I'm in favor of it. I think it's good common sense, logical. But get that word shall out of there, please.
Hey, I'd gladly give you a discourse on shall, but I'll hold it back.
Because I know that our special counsel does not like that word.
We're going to try to get it out of all the ordinances before we're done.
That's right. Go ahead if you'd like to make a comment.
Good afternoon. Austin Sweet from the Gunderson Law Firm on behalf of Cash Processing Services, and Don Gilman's here as well. We're just here to answer any questions or assist in the discussion if necessary and helpful.
Okay. Well, we can take discussion from the audience. Questions? Yes. He beat you to it. So.
Come on up, Nicole. Don't worry about the. Yeah.
For the record, I'm Dave Thomas. First, in terms of the shall be thing, on page 2, 5.16.040. Paragraph C, two-thirds of the way down, after not, strike the B. Get rid of the word B. That's just ungrammatical the way it is. Okay. And I didn't check all the shalls or wills. I would first sort of like to make an overall observation. To have the licensee be the party that makes the suggested changes to the ordinance which regulates the licensee is, in my mind, similar to, conceptually, making the fox the CEO of the hen house, just as a matter of premise. I also am rather perplexed by the speed with which this seems to be going through. Staff discussion says that this is not really normal procedure, that typically both the district attorney and the sheriff would have had the opportunity to review the proposed third-party changes, and by third-party, I mean the license.
Dan, let me interrupt you for a minute. Jack, could you see who's banging on?
Yeah, it's probably the roofers.
It's a roofers.
Oh. Yeah.
Sorry. Never mind.
No. That's okay. My question is, you know, why not wait till you get feedback from the DA and the sheriff and have December be the first reading? And, you know, whenever the next meeting is, to have the second reading be then. It's not like the world is going to cease to operate, if you hear where I'm coming from, if this entire process is delayed by a month. The ordinance has been what the ordinance has been for how many years? I don't know the last time this particular ordinance was changed, but none of these items are critical. None of the suggested changes are critical. Some of them, I understand, are essentially related. You know, one of them is clearly related to estate planning, that I understand. I have no objection to it, but, you know, it's just this has to do with successor trustee, et cetera, and, you know, how the licensing process is going to work.
But this is just the first reading today, Mr. Thomas. It's just the first reading.
Yeah. And I can answer that once Mr. Thomas's comments are concluded.
And, I mean, I could go through and say some things that I personally would object to that I think, you know, of this, or do you want to wait until the second reading? What I'm saying is typically after the second reading, it's already decided, right? This is sort of an undecided thing just due to lack of review.
Well, it's not decided until it's voted on the second.
Right.
And if we didn't agree to it on the second reading, then it would go on from there, too. It would be delayed at that point, too.
Okay? No, so what?
Let me just briefly talk about the process. The first reading is to determine whether it should be introduced or not. The second reading is a public hearing where comments are appreciated and expected, and the board has an opportunity to look at it. I would say that if there were parts of the ordinance that were not finished at that point, the board would be asked to do a second reading, which would be at the following meeting. And so the idea is that we're putting in place the first second reading so that we can move forward with it, work on the ordinance, and then if it is not completed at that time, we could have a second reading. And so it just allows the board flexibility to do their job.
And if I can speak to the timing of this, you know, I was never made aware of any sense of urgency other than sooner or later it's time to do something. I can walk you back probably to either early this year or perhaps late last year when questions arose over contiguous operations and singular back rooms and those types of things where they did the financing. And at that point in time, with the help of Chris specifically and others on staff at the Mustang, you know, we arranged tours for both our two county commissioners, independent of Commissioner Gilman because of concerns with the open meeting law, as well as legal staff, as well as others. And we got an updated oversight of operations, and we learned we really do have a lot of small issues in our ordinance that, one, either conflict with NRS, or B, are still ambiguous despite our desires over the years to tighten this up. I'll go back to 1999 with then Commissioner Hess and I, and we never wanted to be embarrassed by Joe Conforti again. So we took a five-page ordinance, tried to copy state gaming as much as we could in the process and tighten it up. I'd be willing to bet you that if you put one beer in Mr. Maddox, he'd probably tell you it looks like it was written by layman, and that's because it was. So we are continuing to try to go through the process of cleaning up the conflicts, and sooner or later, Dave, you just got to go ahead and do it. If it extends through one more reading or two more readings, I don't think the brothel is going to squirm too bad at this point in time. It's just we've been talking about this for a long time, and it's time to do something, and that was my drive, not necessarily the brothels. And it was also my desire to seek not so much changes from the brothel, but simply what's real and what isn't as far as the way this thing operates.
If I could add, I became somewhat familiar with how the ordinance before was arrived at, and the licensee was integrally involved in that process from back in 98-99. I know that from sitting through 6 or 7 hours of depositions about that. So it's not unusual for the person who ordinance governs to be involved in the process. And actually, you hope to look to their expertise in developing an ordinance. So it isn't unusual for the licensee to participate in the process of, in this case, hopefully updating and making the ordinance better.
And in this case, we do have some real experts, too.
Ms. Bart, do you want to comment? Or ask questions? Or go on a tour?
What? I've been on a tour. Great business model, really. Nicole Bard, Story County resident. I agree with Dave. I don't understand why the rush. We've gone through the infrastructure process for months and months and months, and that has to do with a great deal of money, and it's something that benefits the entire county. This benefits one person. To the extent that Mr. Morris did say that the county haven't been able to do their job of really synthesizing this and presenting, even for first meeting, something more than quarter-baked. I don't believe that this, in its current state, and given the statement by Mr. Morris that it isn't really complete, really meets the intent of having the two readings. I think that part of the intent of having those two readings is to give the public the opportunity to review the county's best first work, to be able to provide input on that so that by the time the second reading happens, it can be taken into consideration. If what you're telling us is that what you have provided us is not the first best work of the county, then I don't feel like, you know, why would I read this if it's not what in fact is going to be looked at for the...
If you have some comments, Nicole, what we'd like you to do is go through there. You can convert that to Word if it isn't in it, and put in your comments, mark it up, and make some comments, get it back to us before the second reading, That way we have something we can look at and consider.
But that's your job, not mine.
If you do it here verbally,
no,
you're not going to listen.
I'm not going to go through the entire document, Bill. I'm simply saying.
If you put it in writing, it would be better for us, and then we can consider it on the second reading, and we have something to work with. That's a simple way to do it.
Okay. I believe this is my time, and I'm not done yet. All I'm saying is, by admission, this is not the first best. This work hasn't been done yet by the county. And so in order for us, we as citizens, to be able to give it a reading, it needs to be done. This isn't done. And by the second reading, there's no opportunity, even though Mr. Morris says, well, there could be a second meeting. Well, that's rework. So, again, I'm here to support Dave in his comment. Why this rush for one individual? Do the work, get the first reading done, constructed correctly, then bring it here for us as citizens to be able to look at. That's all.
Well, I don't know if there's a rush. We have three weeks in between now and the next regularly scheduled meeting.
But it's a rush because it's not done.
Listen, if it's not ready to go by then, like Mr. Morris said, we will put it off until it is right.
I know you'd like to keep rewriting and making up your own NRS, but this is according to NRS. And so
I'm not saying anything about the NRS. I'm saying it.
If you want, if we see a reason to continue it, we can do that. But if you have comments on this, please reduce it to writing and get it in so we know what the heck everyone's talking about. Everyone can see that, and then we can discuss it.
Okay. Just lodging the complaint that this does not provide the public its normal first reading quality work for them to provide that kind of feedback. My last question is, does Chris Thompson work for TRI?
I believe I can answer that. If he likes, and I'll look to him for accuracy. Chris Thompson represents the Lance Gilman Family Trust, and he is also the risk manager for the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Have I spoken accurately, Mr. Thompson?
So is there a business relationship between TRI and the brothel? Because I don't understand. The way that the staff summary is written is that, you know, Chris Thompson is the one acting on behalf, whether it's the brothel or the Lance Gilman Family Trust.
I think
being paid by TRI, is that a problem?
I think that's exactly why I went to great pains to specify my miscommunication to counsel. This is Chris Thompson came to me as a representative of the Lance Gilman Family Trust, not TRI. And not of the brothel.
Even though that's what it says.
Well,
thank you.
I clarified that.
Mr. Phillips, you have your hand up. Did you want to speak?
Actually, not at this time.
Okay.
You know, if I can observe, Bob, lots of times, you know, so far with a lot of the ordinances that we have a first reading on and then later come to the second reading and it's adopted, and I know I've heard it said that sometimes doesn't, you just end up adopting the very first thing that was said. I suspect that this case will receive a lot of comment on this, and it will have to be integrated into the ordinance, which will then have to be continued for another reading. So, and I think that isn't that uncommon in adopting ordinances. We just haven't, most of the ordinances that we've had here, we haven't done that with, but a lot of time, it's a little almost comparable to the legislature. A bill will be proposed down there, and then it'll go to committee meetings, and then it'll be changed, and then it'll be re-proposed. So, in a way, this is a more effective way to do it than the way we've been doing it, in the sense that we get comment from the public, which we can then integrate into the ordinance and then bring it back for discussion. So, this may be even a more effective way to pass or amend ordinances than what we've been doing in the past.
Thank you. Any other questions or discussion?
Mel's got a staff has got a question.
Okay.
Mr. Phillips?
Okay.
Did you want to speak?
Yeah.
Come on up.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Mark Phillips, Virginia City resident. Speaking to ordinance number 14-258, I'm on page one. I just noticed in the summer we're talking about driving while impaired or intoxicated. We're talking about breath, unlawful to drive, or being physical control of a vehicle on the highway.
Mr. Phillips, hold on a second.
You jumped ahead. We're still on prostitution.
Oh, excuse me.
Deputy Chief Keener? Chief Deputy? Hey, backwards.
The sheriff just wanted me to clarify that there will be discussion at the next meeting because he does have significant concerns with the proposals that warrant further discussion.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Anyone else? Hearing none. Call for a motion to approve the first reading.
God, I'm almost afraid to. thank you, Mr. Chairman. Motion then would be to approve the first reading of Ordinance 14-261.
And I'll second your motion. It's been moved to second to approve the first reading of Ordinance 14-261. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries.
Just for the record, is there a mistake in the staff report?
Yes.
So the recommended motion there on the staff report is 258. It should actually be 261.
Correct.
What did I say? 258?
You said 261.
261,
yeah. I was reading the approval. Recommended motion to set 250.
Oh, okay. Got it.
What were you talking about, Mr. Maddox? You lost me.
There was a typo in the staff summary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I read it straight off the
all right.
agenda.
Not off the agenda, okay.
He was right, and
yeah.
Bob was wrong.
All right, now we're going to move along to item number 17.
Mr. Chairman, hang on. I'm consulting with the clerk. We're not clear if there was a second and a vote, just as long as you guys know that there was, for the record. All I heard was Commissioner Shumahan's first.
He motioned. I second it. We both voted yes. We both voted in the affirmative.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Ann Langer, Story County District Attorney's Office. I am here on Ordinance Number 14-258. The title reads, an ordinance amending Story County Code Chapter 10.16 to repeal driving while impaired and to change the amount of the alcohol in a driver's blood to 0.08 to be unlawful to drive or be in actual physical control of a vehicle and providing for other property-related matters. This is the language that's consistent with NRS. The last time that the Story County Code it's the one that's been in effect since 1985-1986, which still has the 0.10 language. So with that, if there's any further questions, that would be the end of the first reading.
In essence, this is just a housekeeping item, as we've been doing for the last couple of years.
It is.
Very good.
All right. That's amazing. That's a good example. Missing something very obvious and been there for years and years and years.
Mr. Phillips, did you want to speak on this item? You had your hand up earlier.
This is moving us from the 19th into the 20th century.
Right. So,
Mark Phillips, again, speaking through the ordinance number 14-258, page one, in the summary, it talks about driving while impaired or intoxicated, unlawful to drive, or being in actual physical control of a vehicle on the highway, or on premises to which the public has access in Story County. That could be me sitting in a bar and I don't even have a vehicle. Does this apply to people walking?
Transportation.
Or sitting in a bar drinking?
That's what you would be sitting in a car in a bar. If you're sitting in a car in a bar, this would apply to you being a
Or a horse.
Yeah. Any vehicle? I guess any vehicle, isn't that?
Yes.
If you're on a bicycle, if you're on a horse.
It applies.
A vehicle. It could be in a vehicle.
If you're walking.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for that, huh?
Thank you.
But that's
a common
marshal.
Without those horses, we've been drinking.
You're safe for now.
It's going to become a mode of transportation, and then it will apply to walking when you're over 0.08.
Anyone else have any comments or discussion on this?
Don't do that.
Hearing none, I'll call for the motion on this.
Motion to approve the first reading of our ordinance 14258.
I'll set.
I read
the title.
She read the title.
And I'll second your motion. Been moved and seconded to approve
and
first reading of ordinance 14-258. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving along now to item number 18. Discussion and possible action. Pursuant to NRS 533-363, Section 4, consideration of applications to appropriate the waters of the state of Nevada from within the hydrographic basin 026 Mud Meadow in the county of Humboldt, Nevada. The proposed place of this use is within the Churchill Valley, Dayton Valley, and Tracy segment, hydrographic basins 102, 103, and 083, respectively, within both Lyon and Story County.
Mr. Chairman, this one came up to us out of the blue, so I guess first off I'd ask, is there anyone here to represent Rodney St. Sinclair or Michael Stanka? I didn't think so. We have had no contact with these folks. We have no knowledge of what they are proposing. We don't know what the intended use or specific location is. I did check with the engineering firm that both we use and the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. They're not familiar of any applications within our county, and since neither the county nor the Industrial Center engineers have been approached by the applicant, it's our recommendation that the commission direct council and staff to file a formal protests on applications 84429 and 84430 and request further detailed information in order to make a more informed decision.
So moved. That really, that's confusing to me. I have no idea what it is they're talking about or what they want to
do. Usually I haven't received any correspondence whatsoever.
Nothing.
This is how they do it. It's within the county boundaries.
And I will tell you, when it comes to land use and water rights, you better be careful. I think you have a question from Angela.
Yeah.
No, there have been no legal notices.
There's nothing.
Okay, so the parties are not being represented here in person or by any council. Does anybody else want to speak on the subject? It's new to us too. So
pretty gun shy on that. So.
Okay, hearing none. Have a motion on the floor to go ahead and direct staff and legal counsel to go ahead and file a legal protest on this on the description.
Or at least have them come forward and tell us what the heck they want to do with this. You know?
Well, I think though, to slow the process, according to the engineers, we need to go ahead and file protest, and then we become a part of the process.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay. So there's the motion. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded to approve filing protest on this. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, and the motion carries. Okay. Moving along here now, the next up is community development and planning. Item number 19, possible action, licensing board second readings.
That would be me once again, while Mr. Haymore's with Mr. Gilman. Community development recommends we continue item G, Harris Industrial Gases.
So moved.
It's been moved. To approve, I'll second that. Been moved and second to continue Harris Industrial Gases. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And also, Community Development recommends we approve items A, B, C, D, E, F, and H, which are Performance Contracting, Inc., MNW Construction, Storm 5 LLC, Brand Engineering and Infrastructure, KC Custom Concepts, Sierra Electronics, and Argonne Metal Packaging USA, Inc., to be approved.
So moved.
Okay. I'll second that. It's been moved and second to approve A, B, C, D, E, F, and H. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And motion carries. Moving along now to the best part of the meeting, number 20, public comment. Ms. Cohen.
What is the
Judy Cohen, Story County business owner, Story County resident. This is an observation, a question, and I'd like an answer based on my interpretation. I've seen in this session and previous sessions the statutes, the NRSs, the ordinances, that in the end, the commissioners approve or don't, goes into effect. My question is, not the implementation, but the enforcement of the ordinances. To whom, depending, and I understand that there are different ordinances that would correspond to different departments. What if there is not any enforcement? What do you do? And my observation is that the ordinances are not applied evenly. And I'm not so naive to try to stand up here and say that I believe a Virginia City ordinance pertaining to something important, dangerous, that could be fixed, compared to something like what's been read here today in the beginning. There's no comparison, but there's still a cause and effect. So I would like to know if certain people are exempt, certain businesses are exempt from the ordinances, and if that's the case, why?
Well, we defer to legal counsel.
I'm exempt, I know that.
You know,
to me, this is not a joking matter.
Obviously, if the sheriff had enough staff, the building department had enough staff, lots of people had enough staff, we could enforce every ordinance to the letter, but we don't. So the sheriff, and I don't want to speak for him, so maybe I shouldn't, but he has a limited staff, and he tries to ensure, prioritize the ordinances that he enforces. Same for the building department, same for the Austin Osborne and planning and zoning. And even then, when they do investigate and forward something to the district attorney's office, we can't prosecute every one of them because of the shortage of staff. So we try to prioritize how we allocate our scarce resources. So, yes, an ordinance is passed. It may prohibit something or require someone to do something, but that isn't always going to be carried into effect. Best example of that would be the United States of America and its efforts to enforce our immigration laws. We have laws on the books that say people can't come into the country illegally. Well, a lot of them are here. I know even when I was U.S. Attorney 30 years ago, there was no way that I could prosecute every illegal alien that came into this country. I just didn't have the staff. So a lot of times, the difference between what is supposed to be done and what is actually done is scarcity of resources to carry into effect legislative dictates and some exercise of discretion by the people that are doing it. So there's probably laws in Story County that are being violated that have been brought to my attention, that I didn't prosecute because I have that right to exercise discretion in order to appropriately apply the scarce resources I have to the unlimited things that I have to do. Does that answer your question?
Somewhat, but when it's based on position in the county and name, I'm just bringing this up because
well,
I know.
But you gave a specific answer.
So, but the point is this. I feel that what's for goose is for the gander. And if they make all of us do it except for one person in one business, then something needs to be done about it. And I did make my complaints. I'm just bringing it up. You put all this time and effort into ordinances, and it's just like, okay, why bother if it's not going to be enforced? That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
Yeah, and I appreciate your question, Judy. I think it's a very good question that you started off with. And I know when I've done, you know, research on the ordinances in the county, that's one of the questions that I always ask myself after I read through this thing. How are we going to enforce this? Is it enforceable? What's it going to cost us in time and money to make sure everybody's played by the rule book? And it's a very valid, good question. But I think the district attorney has illustrated the reality of the situation that, you know, we have very few laws compared to other counties in the state, and I can't imagine how we would ever be able to enforce every last single thing. If you got something, you know, a specific thing, let somebody on county staff know about it, you know. And
okay, I appreciate
that,
Bill.
If it's criminal in nature, you go to the sheriff first.
I have nothing to do with the sheriff. Let me make one small clarification.
If it's criminal in nature, I'd go to the sheriff first, and if you didn't get satisfaction, I'd go to the district attorney.
Okay.
If it's not a civil matter, the DA can help you out. And if he can, he can probably direct you on where you could go.
Okay. My point on this was you made it very, it's like only a few are exempt from the enforcement when the others are being enforced for the same ordinance. That's my point and my statement and my observation.
That should not happen. And if it
I
does,
know. That's why I'm bringing it up.
You need to let
thank you, Judy. All right. Continue on. Public comment. Ms. Bard.
There we go.
And have somebody break the ice. Thank you, Judy.
Nicole Bard, Story County resident. This is a question for you, Pat. I wasn't able to research it because I was otherwise busy. But we reconveyed USA Parkway to TRI, right, at the last meeting?
We reconveyed portions.
The portion that was paved,
that
right?
That is correct.
Okay. I did a little bit of research, and I'm just confused. In 2000, well, TRI built the interchange, and they paved the parkway to a certain point. And then in 2006, asked for NDOT to reimburse them for it and was told, no, that's not a state highway. In 2010, they quit-claimed that portion that they paved, including the interchange, but they quit-claimed that to the county, minus the water rights and mineral rights, because I'm assuming that we couldn't do maintenance on a private road, therefore we had to own it in order to. I'm just making that assumption from a liability standpoint. So when TRI built it and then in 2010 gave it to us, they also shifted the cost of building it to our debt as part of the public-private agreement we have with them. So they built it. NDOT did not reimburse them for it. They quit-claimed all that land under it to us, along with handing us the debt for building it, and we maintained it for that amount of time. Got it. Then, in October of this year, we reconveyed it back to them so that they then can turn around and sell it, along with the rest of it, to Lyon, to the state for whatever that amount is, $43 million, et cetera. Two questions. Why didn't we just sell that portion of it to the state since we owned it? That's one question.
Okay.
And then the second question, if for some reason we couldn't do that, in the reconveying of it back to TRI, why don't we get a portion
of what they're selling, all of it, to the state in loan forgiveness for the portion of the debt they shifted to us to begin with, because they're getting paid twice. They've shifted the burden of the construction of it on the shoulders of Story County, and then they're reselling an improved piece of property to the state.
Okay. I'll attempt to answer that. And again, portions of this answer were done outside my knowledge. I mean, it's clearly known that a major component that attracted Tesla to northern Nevada was not only the TRI center, but also the availability of land. It was a very competitive market. I want to stress that the negotiations were held primarily at two levels. One, presumably, is between the developer and Tesla in some respects, but most all were between Tesla and the state of Nevada, the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Once the terms of the legislation were set, and also the level of negotiations dealing with the acquisition of the right-of-ways, they needed to turn to the county for a relatively small section, quite frankly, of paved road that we had agreed to the debt. So the section you're referring to specifically, the interchange and all that, we still own. We did not give that up. And we had a map up here months ago that talked about the Lyon County portion. It talked about the unimproved portion in Story County. And then it talked about a small section in the pavement to Sydney was the phrase that Bill and I should have used. That is the portion we gave up but still assumed the debt. The reason why we assumed the debt was a negotiated trade-off for the maintenance of the entire section of USA Parkway, the interchange and everything we own, as well as everything that went to the state.
So the portion that we still own is what? The actual interchange off 80?
The interchange, the bridge over the Truckee River, clear down to approximately Sydney.
Okay, so TRI, that is not being sold to the state.
That is correct.
But the state will be owning all the maintenance.
There was a maintenance easement that was granted, approved by this commission and approved by the director of NDOT as well, yes.
Okay. And then the portion so that did not get reconveyed to TRI?
No, a maintenance easement was granted.
Okay. So the portion that did get reconveyed to TRI was what?
A portion from Sydney approximately to Pavement End.
Okay. So you're saying that we negotiate, so TRI gets that land for them then to turn around and sell to the state, and what we get out of it, we maintain the debt for all of it, but what we get out of it is that the state alleviates us of the responsibility and cost of doing the maintenance.
Of all maintenance.
And it pencils out to be equal from a cost savings.
I would argue, particularly once that highway is connected, it's going to pencil out to be a huge plus
okay.
for Story County.
Okay. One other thing,
though, too, Nicole, is that the road wasn't finished all the way to the county line. Now the state's taken that over. That public-private partnership agreement that I was talking to you about, we were obligated to pay
all of it
to finish the road, which we're not going to have to do now either, which is just about. So we already paid for something that we don't have anymore, but we don't have to maintain it. And we've got something we're going to have to pay for that we're not going to have to pay for.
Okay, that clarifies it. Okay. It wasn't.
Out. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, great, thank you.
And the state's going to wind up with the whole taco anyway at the end of the game.
Great questions.
Dave Thomas, Story County resident. This is on the same topic, and rather than rehash the whole thing, just an observation. Roughly, what is the length of the road in miles that we did quit claim back to TRI so that they could sell it to the state? If you had to guess, is it de minimis, a couple miles, three
four,
miles?
Maybe still four?
I don't know.
Three, 4 miles, something like that?
Ballpark force.
Okay. And not that I'm saying this means anything to Story County, but as a matter, practical matter, just standing back and looking at the transaction, is it correct to say that TRI is receiving consideration from two different parties for the same asset?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
They sold the same thing to two different parties. One is cost, and it's certainly nowhere near the whole $44 million. I don't have a clue as to what percentage that is. You'd have to go back and, you know, take a look at what our $43.5 million debt at the end of 2013 to TRI was, and out of that, probably the lion's share is other stuff. It's not this one section of road.
Absolutely.
I mean, it could be something. But
we broke even, if not got ahead.
Oh, I understand that you're saying, well, the county was relieved of another liability. But looking at it from a different perspective, it is true that TRI sold the same asset to two different parties, and the state presumably is going to pay them completely up front, that $43 million. And depending on the way things turn out, they may wait till to get the other, let's just say hypothetically, the amount would be $4 million out of the $44 million we owe them. Just say hypothetically. I don't know what the number is. I'm making up a number. They may not get that for years and years and years.
You are absolutely correct under the formulas of our delivery.
Under the formula. Is that correct? I mean,
that is without interest. So.
Yeah, that's without interest. So if you took a present value with that, it could be de minimis. I just wanted to understand the transaction. And I do understand, and I understand why the quit claim thing was written in return for that. The county's position is a consideration of not having to incur additional debt to pay for the Lyon County line and not having to maintain anything.
Correct.
Right. Forever. That'll leave for maintenance.
No, I'm
yeah.
I understand. I'm not saying I think it's a bad deal.
There are a
county.
Lot of parts to this puzzle.
So just to reiterate what you said, up to a certain point, you know, from the interchange to whatever point, the county still owns that. However, NDOT is going to do all the maintenance and everything else.
That is correct. We own it, and we have granted a maintenance easement to them to make the necessary improvements for it to be a state highway,
yeah,
as well as maintenance in perpetuity.
So we're completely out of the maintenance on USA Park.
That is correct.
And additional construction.
On USA Parkway itself, yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Great.
Mr. Thompson,
come on up.
The hearing might start in about 5 minutes.
Lunch is over?
It's okay. We need
I guess we'll maybe it's perfect timing, right? Now, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners.
He's only got three.
Mr. District Attorney, Mr. County Manager, my name is Chris Thompson. I'm the Transaction Coordinator for Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. I work at the real estate office at 420 USA Parkway. If I could just add just a couple of things, following up on Mr. Thomas's comments. Number one is, from TRI's perspective, the county has already benefited greatly from the amounts invested by the developer in USA Parkway, and that was already dedicated to the county previously, including the section discussed. The county's benefited because that main arterial has supported TRI and Story County bringing in a number of businesses in phase two of the park, which is USA Parkway and Portofino and now Electric Avenue. And those businesses are producing a bunch of sales tax and property tax already for the county and have been for some years. So the county's already benefited greatly from that dedicated roadway. Secondly, I can report that last week, right-of-way folks from NDOT, a full right-of-way team of four people from NDOT were out there looking at the USA Parkway right-of-way. And I believe that right-of-way may be either significantly resurfaced or redone completely in order to bring it in compliance as a state highway. And those funds, if they just a resurfacing or a redoing of that roadbed, will be in the tens of millions, to include the stretch that the prior speaker was referring to. So the return on investment of that dedicated roadway is probably in the multiples of tens
perhaps multiples of 100s back to the county for your money. So thank you for the time. Thanks for your consideration.
Thank you, Chris. Mr. Phillips.
Thanks again, Mr. Chairman. Mark Joseph Phillips, Virginia City resident. Public comment. Tomorrow evening, a conflict of interest or meetings exists. Story County Planning Commission has a regular meeting that's very important. Austin has known about this for weeks, and of course it's been published in the paper. But this last weekend I got a notice from Bureau of Land Management in regards to a public hearing slash open house at Piper's Opera House tomorrow evening. So I would suggest there's no reasonable explanation for both meetings being scheduled at the same time, other than, here goes my conspiracy theory again. You know, Austin's not here to defend himself against the word I was going to use him.
Well, they're the federal government, where's the county government?
Well, you know, I suggest Planning Commission could meet, reschedule their meeting, and everybody go to Piper's. Otherwise, both meetings are meetings the public should go to. Nobody should have to decide which of the two meetings they're going to. Of course, Lance Gilman's not here. Commissioner Gilman, if there's any insinuation that his public business is more important than the public's business, I resent that. And if this attendance keeps up, Mr. Gilman's subject to a recall. Yeah.
I might just add that were we to cancel the Planning Commission meeting, since there are boundary line adjustments, we would have to re-notice for the meetings, so at a greater expense.
Gunther, come on down. How are you?
Gunther. How are you, Gunther?
Hello. Gunther Prosser, River District. And just an observation. I've been attending these meetings for a while now, and I keep hearing that if more people would come up and express their concerns, that you guys would look into things. And if you can recall just a few short years back, I think people were afraid to come up here and express their concerns because of basically they were denigrated, thrown out of the courthouse, pretty much called. They didn't know what they're talking about. This was in the past. In moving forward, I think what you're witnessing is the outlying counties, they're seeing the wall from that surround Virginia City coming down, and you're seeing more and more people from the outlying areas coming up and requesting things. And to your benefit, you are helping the outlying areas. You have people coming up expressing how great the community center is looking in Lockwood and in Mark Twain. You're expressing how well the parks are doing. We have a long ways to go. You're getting more people more confident in coming up here and asking for things for the county to do and not being denigrated. So that's contributed to you, the new staff. We have new staff members that are helping out tremendously. And that's an acknowledgement to the commissioners that the outlying areas are seeing this, but you are getting more and more requests for things that should have been done in the past, and they're not being addressed, and people are not afraid to come up and express their concerns. So thank you very much for all your work.
Thank you, Gunther. Your compliment is appreciated. It really is. Who else do we have? Okay, before we... You have anything?
Nope.
Well, before we slam the gavel... We've got this is public information. It's available through the governor's office on economic development. It was the impact study
on what's going on in the North County with the Tesla. So when these numbers are huge, when we talk about what, you know, what the land's sold back for and the tax abatements and all that, but in 10 years from now, and I know it's a long ways off, but in the first year alone, in year 10, the school district is going to collect over $5 million in tax revenue out of that one business. County government's going to receive almost $14 million. In the second year, the school district goes up to $10 million. County government goes up to almost $28 million. Now, it's going to level out, and then it'll decrease with depreciation of that. But in just 10 years from now, the economic impact that this is going to have is really just this monumentous. And then it's going to grow from there with all the other businesses that are going to be building in, out in the industrial park. So this is a big win for the county. It just, when we look at it now, it just doesn't seem like there's much there. And there's not. But, you know, just hang in there with us, and it's all going to come to be. So
it's an investment.
Anything else?
Yes. Can I make that observation?
Sure.
Have you dealt with agenda item 21 yet? You have public comment about the stream.
We usually leave it
to public comment. Dave, we just provide it for the record.
Okay.
Yeah.